So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. My guest today, Laurel Redman, licensed herbalist at Red Sage Health in Madison, practices acupuncture, body work, growing and using plants as food and medicine. Chinese medicines is really on her mind a lot, herbal medicines, and acupuncture as well. She does some shiatsu, is it? Shiatsu, is that correct?
Yes, my husband is a shiatsu practitioner,
shiatsu?
John Thusen.
It's a massage of some, yeah, we'll talk with her about that. Laurel, by the way, thanks for coming by and being with us today. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Larry.
Let's, just so we know what Red Sage Health is all about, give us a rundown on what you do.
Well, we have a clinic with two acupuncturists and John the shiatsu therapist. We have an herb shop in Madison on Williamson Street where we produce many medicinal herb products for a wide range of conditions. We also carry body care products that we make, and also my parents, they have a herb company in St. Louis, Missouri, and so we sell each other's products. So it's real comprehensive, and we also try to grow as much as we can at our 40-acre farm in the Baraboo Hills. So we really enjoy it a lot and keep busy with that.
Sort of vertical integration there. You're growing those plants and conditioning them and then selling them.
Correct. And we also really encourage people to educate themselves. We have a big reference center that people can come and read books and learn about Chinese medicine, herbs, acupuncture. And we always have, you know, free tea, herbal tea to drink. And I think people really need to educate themselves if they want to use herbs, because it's not something that's just, you know, just in the mainstream necessarily.
You've been interested in working in this for quite a long time now.
Yes, that's true. I've been doing it for over 20 years now.
And I know you've edited books that deal with Chinese herbs. What attracted you to this area to begin with?
Well, I started to study herbs when I became just curious about the kinds of experiences people have trying to heal from different conditions. I found that a lot of the people that I cared about had chronic conditions that just weren't always able to be addressed fully by Western medicine, and it just seemed like a real gentle, pleasurable medium. You know, plants are all around us, and I really had an affinity for plants, and I've always been really interested in medicine and the things that make people sick. So it seemed like a real natural choice for me.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, since you've edited books on Chinese herbs, you've done a lot of studying on them.
Yes, indeed. I've also edited and indexed some books about aromatherapy by Jeannie Rose. And one of the main books that I edited on Chinese herbs was a formula study guide to help people prepare for the licensing exam in California, where I was educated, and also for the national licensing exam.
Let's talk, before we go to the phones here, and Elizabeth, we'll get to you in just a minute here. Elizabeth from Milwaukee's on with a question, but when we think of Chinese herbs, what are we thinking about? What are those herbs? Give us some examples.
Well, you'd be really surprised, because a lot of our most common weeds are Chinese herbs, things like dandelion, plantain, even velvet leaf, which is a weed that a lot of people would notice from being in farm fields. In addition, a lot of plants in the horticultural trade are Chinese herbs, peonies, tree peonies, lilies of many types. So it's a very broad group, and there's a lot of overlap with herbs that people think of here and Chinese herbs as well. It's a very comprehensive system of internal medicine. So there's things that can support your system and specific organs and increase your vitality, but also things that can work more like antibiotics that clear away infections.
Wanted to mention acupuncture before we go to the phones. What is acupuncture really designed to do to a person, and how does it work?
Well, acupuncture is so old that nobody really knows how it originated. But over time, thousands of years, different doctors have developed a system of points that run on meridians, which you can think of like a circulatory system. And we talk about qi and blood a lot in Chinese medicine, and the qi is the substance, or, well, it's not really a substance, but it's what runs through the meridians. I think of it kind of as a person's unique life force, or almost like electricity. So they've mapped out all the points on the meridians, and different points have different functions. Some points will send chi and blood to one part of the body or another. Sometimes the meridians are used to push through obstructions of chi and blood in your body, which are things that can cause pain or discomfort, be it physical or emotional discomfort. So it's a really elegant and time-tested system, and it helps your body balance itself.
You know, I was thinking back and reading back to a time when people would just dismiss it out of hand, acupuncture out of hand. And I think one of the big turnarounds came maybe 30, 40 years ago when Scotty Reston, who was with the New York Times, was visiting China and I think had appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
And was treated, and acupuncture was used to what would serve as sort of a Novocaine.
Yeah, as an anesthetic, exactly.
And he wrote about it, and so I think that might have been a turning point where people said, "Oh, it really does work. You really can accomplish things with this."
That's correct. You know, and that's actually a more modern and experimental use of acupuncture. After the Cultural Revolution, they really tried to take acupuncture to the limit and experiment and see how far they could get with it. It was almost like a nationalistic thing, and they don't do a lot of surgery in traditional Chinese medicine, but they knew if they could show that they could perform different operations using only acupuncture as anesthesia, that there would be no questions about the placebo effect. And so they really wanted to show that to the world. So they had a really great opportunity during that trip that Nixon took, which that reporter was covering when he had the appendicitis.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth in Milwaukee, thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome.
What can we do for you?
I just have a question. For about 3.5-4 months, I was trying very, very hard on my own to, and this is before I was diagnosed with nasal polyps, to try to get rid of my sinus difficulty. I tried everything. And that's why I'm calling, to see if there's something else for inflammation I might have tried. I went to the doctor. He kind of scoffed at what I tried. And he proceeded to tell me, which I already read, that surgery is sometimes ineffective because they grow back, which is kind of interesting just to begin with as to why this happens. And so I started on prednisone, and that can be, it helped, and I will say that, but it had side effects, and now I was on two steroid sprays, one of which I was bleeding quite a bit for 2 days, mm-hmm. and now I'm on another one where I have this big rash on my face. So the moral of the story and the question I have is there something that I can do along with, if I restart the second nasal spray, to alleviate this inflammation, which seems to cause these polyps, they look like vitamin E capsules in the back of your nose, because I just think that there's something wrong, that, you know, things cause inflammation and surgery doesn't work, and then you have all these side effects from this stuff that is quite expensive, by the way.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering if there's anything, but I did try garlic, turmeric. I was trying everything before I had these polyps. I was just curious.
All right. And I'm sure you don't give specific medical advice relating to a specific individual over the air, but do you have some general comments on this?
Yeah. Something like nasal polyps is a condition that, you know, as she said, the surgery, you know, is just a short-term fix. It's something that you have to manage over time, you know, maybe not having the goal of actually getting rid of them. But a lot of essential oils have really nice affinity for the respiratory tract, and they really can reduce inflammation and just facilitate, clear breathing, such as eucalyptus, peppermint, oils of that nature. And in Chinese herbalism, one of the things I love about it is that it's got a certain level of sophistication. So there's actually categories of herbs that especially travel to your head and your sinus cavities that can reduce inflammation in that area specifically. So it's really a lot more elegant than just, you know, having to, you know, have your whole system filled up with prednisone. It's something that's going right to the area where you need support.
Mm-hmm. Is there any herbs you would recommend?
Well, we have a formula that's actually a one of my favorite names of an herb formula. It's called Dragon Gallbladder Nose Pool. It's a direct translation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a direct translation of the Chinese name for the formula. So nose pool is the Chinese word for like kind of sinusitis or sinus congestion, but it really is good, both anti-inflammatory and you know, it's great for allergies and all manner of sinus problems. And the dragon gallbladder part, that's an herb called dragon gallbladder grass that's a type of gentian root. And it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. Our website is called redsagehealth.com.
Okay.
And what all is on your website, as long as we're talking about it? Redsagehealth.com, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got a lot of information just about Chinese medicine and herbalism, aromatherapy and essential oils. It's also got a lot of articles on it that I've written over the years. And one of my favorite parts is that I have a lot of recipes for just real healthy and simple foods and, you know, cooking with herbs and foraged plants.
Ah, excellent. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Julian in Milwaukee, we'll turn to you next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was calling, I was curious if they had regimens of like herbs and things to assist with types of cancer or anything. That my fiance has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's one of those things where you just have to kind of deal with it every 3 to 5 years with chemo. And I was curious if there's anything that she has for herbal regimens that have been, you know, researched and they don't think help.
Okay.
They use herbs as adjunct in cancer care extensively in China and Japan. And most people wouldn't want to just go it alone with herbs, but there is a lot of research on medicinal mushrooms. And for a person that wanted to have herbal support with cancer, what I would recommend is that they go to a practitioner who's licensed and get a thorough intake and diagnosis. We work on your constitution in addition to the disease that you have. So you'd want to work closely with someone who has experience with making formulas for cancer. And it's really a very, very exciting area.
So a licensed herbalist who you would work with? Or?
Yeah, well, there's a licensing organization called the NCCAOM, and they have a website, nccaom.org, which is the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine, which is kind of a long
yes
term, but anyway, you can look in on their website and type in your zip code or your town, and you can find a list of the practitioners. And then beyond that, you just might want to call ahead and just talk to the person, ask them questions to see what their area of experience is and to see if you have an affinity with them.
So NCCAM?
NCCAOM.
AOM. Well, I left the O out when I wrote it down. NCCAOM.org.
Correct.
That's the place to go. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking alternative health care today, Chinese medicines, acupuncture, herbs, with Laurel Redman, who is with Red Stage Health. Red Sage Health in Madison practices acupuncture, body work, and using those plants as food and as medicine. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll go right back to the phones as we visit with Laurel Redman, Larry Mueller here, Dave in Marshfield up next. Dave, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hello. I have a question about acupuncture. The problem I'm working with, I had a lumbar injury a long time ago, more than 15 years. I ended up with some numbness in both of my feet, little spots. It's gradually gotten worse, and so it began to cause a loss of function this past winter. So I started getting acupuncture based on recommendation of my daughter and a few other people. But I don't really understand the approach or the thought of what is trying to be accomplished in terms of I have a an idea, a mental image of kind of the map of the points, you know, that I've saw on his wall, and but in terms of how it moves energy, blood, or whatever, that I don't get in terms of just what the fellow is trying to do or what the perspective of acupuncture is on that. So I'll be able to hear you a lot better if I'm if I listen off the air.
Question for you before you hang up, though. Are you under treatment now? Is it having an impact?
I'm under treatment now. I think I've gotten about four treatments, and I have not noticed an improvement yet, but I'm not discouraged because, you know, the it's been, you know, it's like an 18-year-old thing, so
yeah.
I wouldn't expect it to be fixed.
Yeah, overnight.
Just a couple of shots.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling, Dave. Let's get a comment from Laurel Redman.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, that you're trying acupuncture and that you're not discouraged. I think oftentimes people can notice a difference after just one treatment, but if it's something that's, you know, chronic and protracted, it can take more time. But I think the important thing to keep in mind is that we don't want to mix metaphors when we're talking about conditions. And when we're Westerners, it's really hard for us not to think about our bodies in a Western paradigm in terms of, you know, people always ask, oh, are you doing something to my nerves? And it's really not the same thing. And not only for pain, but acupuncture can work for numbness too, which I think is interesting. So the idea is that the practitioner is probably trying to strengthen your lumbar area so that it can just be have more integrity. And then in addition to that, help the energy and blood move to your extremities. So I wish that there was an easy way to explain it, but this happened in school all the time with my teachers. You know, we would always say, you know, how does it work? How does it work? And I guess I can settle my mind by just calling it a wonder of nature. There's just certain things that we don't understand as human beings that really aren't in the realm of logic. So in with Chinese medicine, if it works, we do it.
What about along the same lines, Chris in Milwaukee wondered if acupuncture could be used to treat carpal tunnel syndrome and also trigger finger, another condition, both of which involve tendons.
Yes, it can. And it's actually really, the tendons are really interesting structures because they have very poor vasculature. And so it's very effective at helping to make the tendons more supple and get more blood. And where I went to school in California near Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom, there were practitioners that treated carpal tunnel syndrome all day long, every day. And interestingly, some of the substances that are intended to nourish the tendons, one of them is called the liver yin, and that is a substance that is said to be depleted in your system when you are on the computer too much. And so all those people during the dot-com boom were definitely on the computer, and I think that exacerbated their carpal tunnel syndrome.
Let's turn to Denny in Waukesha next. Hi, Denny. Thank you for calling.
Betty. Excuse me. It's Betty.
Oh, Betty. Sorry.
I have had a sort of reversal of a chemical treatment that my husband received and found a natural substance for it. It isn't necessarily acupuncture, but the chemotherapy is supposed to inject poisons into the body to kill the cancer. Well, it turns out that the molecule, the vitamin C molecule, is naturally toxic to the cancer cell. And I received high dosage vitamin C intravenously, and knocked out a kidney nodule. So I think the injection, the policy, the conception of increasing that is just lucky that it is toxic to the molecule, is toxic to cancer cells, but also in high dosage given intravenously, but also the concept of refilling the body with nutrients that will support the immune system against the cancer, I think is a very vital concept.
All right. Well, what do you think, Laurel?
Well, I don't know anything about vitamin C intravenous injections, and that's completely out of my scope of practice. But you know, I do think that she has a point in terms of trying to nourish our bodies. You know, ingesting lots of plants and herbs naturally, build your immune system, and they are fighting cancer. They can fight cancer every day. And there's a lot of really good books and good new research out about that.
So, do you practice that as well in your own personal life? I know you said you like to cook and you like to use herbs in your cooking. You have some recipes and so forth on your website.
Yep, it's just so much fun to cook with herbs, and I love the herb food continuum. I know people talk about a lot of the super fruits nowadays, but really all fruits are so nutritious, and especially small dark colored fruits, and they have medicinal properties too. For instance, I just made a dish that I was eating this morning had nettles and ramps and dill, and it was so delicious, and it was just so fun to know that I was getting all those healing properties from those foods.
Oh. Thanks again, Betty, for calling. Let's turn to Ron in Lake Geneva next. Ron, hello to you.
Yes, good morning. For over 7,000 years, oh, thank you for the show. For over 7,000 years, the Chinese have been using cannabis for healing herbs, and it wasn't until the last 100 years that Westerners have demonized it as a dangerous drug, or actually it's as harmful as table salt. What are your views on using cannabis as a healing herb?
Well, that herb has an awful lot of history, and in the pharmacopoeia that I learned, the way that we learned about it was as a seed that's mostly used actually to treat constipation that's from blood deficiency. So that's the main way of using it. I know that they have said that smoking marijuana can deplete the kidney yin energy, which is not something that most of us need in this harried world that we live in.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Nancy in Grafton, on to you now. Hi, Nancy.
Okay. Have you got any smart ideas for tinnitus? And also, my arms fall asleep. Now, that's a dirty shame because I wake up and my arms are sleeping, and that's not fun. Yeah. And another thing is, what is burdock good for? It's such a pretty plant.
Okay. So we got burdock. We've got arms asleep. And what was the first was?
Tinnitus.
Oh, tinnitus. Okay. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that you think burdock is a pretty plant, because it's not the most popular opinion of it, but it is an excellent plant. The root is a very, very nutritive food. It's another one of the food herb continuum plants. In Japan, they cook with burdock a lot. It's called gobo, and it's very enriching to the blood, cleansing to the blood. It benefits the liver. And also in Chinese medicine, we use the seed of the burdock, and that's an important herb that we use for the common cold and for sore throats and for lots of skin diseases. And in terms of the other issues, tinnitus is notoriously difficult to treat, but that said, it does work sometimes to treat it with acupuncture, and it's worth a try because Western medicine, as far as I know, really has very little in regards to treatment for that condition. The arms falling asleep, I think that, that would be a more quick fix with acupuncture. What we would do is we would, probably work on your neck and on your shoulders and to help to free up the flow of the blood down to your arms. And a lot of people experience that, and it's usually not too hard to treat.
Thanks, Nancy, for calling. David in Germantown. We'll take your call next. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I'd like to know what she recommends for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome or spastic colon, and just one more question. What's the verdict on sal palmetto?
Okay. Irritable bowel syndrome.
Well, now, this is a very common problem, and in Chinese medicine, we would have a differential diagnosis for this, so there's a number of things that can cause it, so we'd want to figure out what's causing it. But just overall, herbs like peppermint is a really good one. You can get peppermint oil or peppermint tea is really good for cramping. And a lot of the mucilage-rich plants such as marshmallow root and slippery elm root are also very soothing to the bowel. But herbs are really good. And even just most common culinary herbs, a lot of those can have a very calming effect on the bowel.
And then sal palmetto.
Okay. Yeah, sal palmetto is a fruit of the palmetto palm that is a real common plant growing in Florida. And it's been used to quite good effect, as I understand, to treat enlarged prostate. It's a good herb. And other things that you can do if you want to worry about your prostate health is eat pumpkin seeds. That's one of the easiest and more palatable than the sal palmetto as well.
All right. Thank you. Jim in Pound, Wisconsin. On to you now. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. A couple of questions on acupuncture. When you got needles sticking out of you, what does that feel like and does it hurt? And the second question is can acupuncture do anything for arthritic hips? And I'll take my answer off the air so my wife can listen to it also.
All right.
Okay, well, you know, different people experience the sensation of acupuncture differently. We call it the chi sensation, and a lot of times it feels like a little bit of a heavy feeling. Sometimes it can feel a little bit achy or a little bit electrical. But some people really think that it feels good to get acupuncture. And some people are more sensitive, and I think it hurts a little bit more for them. But some people say that it doesn't hurt them at all. But I would never say that it's completely painless. I mean, maybe it is for some people, but there's a chance that you'll have a little bit of pain. But it's really nothing to be frightened of. I know a lot of Americans are frightened, but the needles are so small that people often literally cannot feel them going in at all. And they just feel the other feeling of the normal feeling of the chi sensation. And in terms of the hips, now this is a huge issue for Americans, and I'm really dismayed to see how many people are doing joint replacement surgeries, and I really personally think that they're being overdone right now. Doing things like stretching and doing acupuncture and doing massage are really some of the very best things that you can do for your hips. And once the pain has started, it is acupuncture quite effective for hip pain. But in the meantime, just, stay active and stay stretched out, and you probably won't have to go under the knife.
All right. Thank you again for calling. Ashley in Madison, on to you. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, so my question is, my partner was diagnosed with ADHD, and he finds that he benefits from taking the prescribed Adderall, but hates the physiological side effects and, you know, obviously doesn't necessarily like to medicate himself with an amphetamine. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestion for how he can, you know, help his concentration level at work, or really anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I know this is a big problem for a lot of people, but one of my concerns is that the drugs that they use to treat this kind of problem actually, from a Chinese medicine perspective, exacerbates the cause of the problem in terms of it dries your system out. It's almost like, you know, when you're trying to run your car without enough oil, it just heats up and just gets dried out, and it's just not sustainable. So I know that for some people, you know, it's a solution that works for them. But what I would suggest is to look to a large family of herbs that are called nervines. And what they do is they nourish and support the nervous system. Things as simple as oats are good nervines. Oats, skullcap, valerian, chamomile even. those herbs are they're very gentle, but they're very powerful.
All right.
I'm sorry. Could you spell the nervines? N-E-R?
N-E-R-V-I-N-E.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Let's turn to Donna in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Donna.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about Chinese medicine or practices. Are there anything in that that has an effect on epilepsy?
You know, I actually don't have too much experience treating epilepsy, but again, I think that those nervine herbs would be something to look to. And I know that there's also a diet that people have used quite good effect with epilepsy.
Okay. Would that be on your website? Or?
No, but I'm sure it would be real easy to look it up online, you know, if you just looked up epilepsy diet.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. And Terry in Hudson, on to you now. Hi, Terry.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a question regarding good time of the year about allergies. And I know I have been taking, I get hay fever in the fall, but more and more as spring with the blooming and everything, I get a lot of allergic reactions as well, sneezing, watery eyes. And I was taking stinging nettle. I don't know if that's a Chinese herb, but I was taking that in a pill form that I got at a health food section of a store, and that seemed to help. I'm wondering if there are any other herbs that might be useful for allergies. And then I don't know if this one other question I had, I don't know if this is your area of expertise. Maybe it's for another show, but acupuncture in animals. I have a dog with a lame, not totally lame, but a bum knee. And I, it was suggested that perhaps acupuncture might help her out. I don't know if that's an area you can answer.
Sure. Well, acupuncture in animals is a very well-established discipline. In Wisconsin, acupuncturists are not allowed to work on animals. You have to be a veterinarian with specialized training. But in other states, they can. And I know I've worked on my own dogs before, and it works very well on animals. It's a little easier to do it on dogs than it is on cats, but it's also very common in horses as well. And in terms of the allergies, acupuncture is very good for allergies, actually, and there's many different ways of approaching it. And nettles are a very famous cure for allergies, and I think it's neat that, you know, they're just coming out to, you know, be ready to be picked right when most people are suffering. But I think it's important that you try to be consistent and take enough of it. And then again, the formula that I mentioned for the nasal polyps, the dragon gallbladder nose pool, is excellent for allergies. Just got an email from a friend of mine thanking me for giving her some nose pool the other day.
I'll run right out and get some nose pool.
All right. Thanks, all right. Terry.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate your call. And Matt in Superior, let's turn to you next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I had a possible explanation for how acupuncture could block pain.
Okay.
And it's based on some research. I don't know how well it's been researched, but it's called spinal gate theory, and it says that that it could actually block, it could stimulate the nerves, which would turn off a pain gate inside, you know, I don't know, the hypothalamus part of the brain, and it, I don't exactly know how it works, but something along those lines.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I've definitely heard theories like that, and I'm sure that if the more research that's done, you know, the more things that we'll find out. But I really think it's, I try to be cautious about, you know, about, like I said, mixing metaphors with the Chinese and the Western. So I think that that's really just a way of us trying to understand it from a physiological Western standpoint. So not that it's not true, and that, I mean, I'm glad if there's more research done, but I just, you know, I just like it when people tell me that their pain is gone.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. David and Crystal Lake, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and first of all, let any of your listeners know who may not be familiar with acupuncture, just how incredibly effective it's been for me. I'm self-employed. I'm a musician. I do not have health insurance. I got a hairline fracture in my elbow. I went to an acupuncturist 3 days in a row, and 3 days later I was pain-free and playing the show. I don't know what would have happened if I'd gone to the hospital, but it was incredibly effective. Wanted to ask your guest about online. Sometimes I'll see kits of 100 needles and then a little electronic device to help hone in on the meridians. Almost looks like a self-acupuncture type kit, and wanted to see if she's familiar and if that's something that the average person could do.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thanks for pointing out that that how effective acupuncture was for you. And also, when you're uninsured, you can really understand just how cost effective it is, because it is much cheaper than most other types of interventions. And in terms of the products online, I really haven't experienced anyone, you know, buying their own needles and doing their own acupuncture. I really don't think it's a good idea. So I had to train with a 4-year graduate program to learn how to do it, and I wanted to have that training before I was going to stick needles in people. In terms of the other product, there's things that can stimulate the points that with electricity that are on the market. They even have infomercials about them, and I don't think they're as effective as acupuncture, but I think that it could have some good effect. So it's worth looking into.
Patricia in Milwaukee wonders about the efficacy of products purchased online. She mentioned enteric peppermint for irritable bowel syndrome, for example.
Yeah, well, I think that's a proven product. But, you know, you really need to educate yourself and know the companies that you're dealing with. And, you know, you want to work with a reputable company, and that's just not guaranteed. There's no excuse for doing research and knowing what you're doing.
Well, Laurel, it's been a pleasure. The time flew by here. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. And your website is redsagehealth.com, correct?
Yes.
Redsagehealth.com.
Named after one of my favorite herbs.
Oh, yeah? What's it good for?
It's good for preventing stroke, heart attacks, neuropathy. It treats insomnia, emphysema. It's an amazing herb.
Red sage.
Yep.
Laurel Redman, licensed herbalist at Red Sage Health in Madison. It was a pleasure to have her with us, and I will do this again. We'll talk some more about alternative health care. Appreciate having her with us today. But we're going to switch gears and talk with you about airfares and making good airfare purchasing decisions. I'm sure there are a lot of people sitting in England right now who would pay a lot of money to get on a plane. But Rick Seney of FareCompare.com will be with us to talk about airfare purchasing decisions and taking your questions on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.